Listen up, Australia. They're not here. They're not here. They're off enjoying a beer and a very long lunch. So we've got some best bits for you. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Hello, it's Dangerous Dave in the hot seat of Kennedy Malloy, returning next week, July 15, to drive you home. Yes, Kennedy Malloy's best bits for you for the next 2 hours, including frontman of Midnight Oil, Peter Garrett, who's going to join us, swung by the studio, had some news to drop about Midnight Oil, and a forthcoming album on the way. More on that for you in a minute. As we approach Jane's birthday, something weird was happening on Wikipedia. We'll fill you in on that. But let's start off with Jim Jefferies, one of Australia's finest export. Funny man, lives in LA these days and is slaying it across the United States. Anyway, Mick had a few stories about seeing his last stand-up show here in Australia. Jim Jefferies.
Can I say to you how much I enjoyed your stand-up tour of Australia? I saw you in Melbourne at the Tennis Centre. There were 15,000 people there. And it's a night I won't forget.
It was actually 13,000. I feel bad now. 15,000 would have been good, but 13,000. Now I feel like a failure.
Yeah, 13,000. What were you thinking? You were heckled on the night, and when I heard this guy go, I went, yeah. Oh, good Lord, this is not going to end well. And to say you treated it subtly, so it was almost hard to notice, would be an understatement. Is that how you normally deal with hecklers?
Well, I don't normally go on that long. I think I spent maybe 20, 25 minutes on the guy, but it was very interesting.
He was carried out on a stretcher.
He got upset because I was just mildly teasing one of the security guys standing on the edge of the stage, just doing stuff like, if you protect me if someone shot up the place or whatever, you know. And then he just yelled out, he goes, oh, that's a bit much, Jim. You shouldn't be mean to the staff. And then a few, maybe like out of the 13,000, maybe three people were like, yeah, fair dues, you should leave the staff alone. But most people were sort of on my side. But the irony of the whole situation was it took about 8 staff. They actually physically had to carry him out. So he defended them and then they kicked him out. But I found out afterwards, because I had some friends that were sitting a couple of rows back, that guy actually proposed to his girlfriend earlier that night at dinner and then said, now we'll go see some comedy. And she stayed. She was so embarrassed after he was kicked out.
Well, they'll always have that night to remember.
And possibly she said no. That could have been the issue with him.
Oh, no, she did say yes. Oh, it's going to be that whole thing. It's like when you get drunk on your wedding day, it's ruined forever. Like, do you remember when I proposed to you and then you got carried out by 6 security guys at the Rod Laver Arena? It was a fine day. Memories.
And, mate, the only other person you had trouble with that night that I remember was your own promoter at the after party trying to talk Michael Gadinski down. At one point, fair to say, Michael was a bit overly excited, and at one point, as he was opening bottles of champagne and spraying the roof, you had to remind him that he didn't own the building we were standing in.
Well, later on, we ended off at the Crown, and I think Michael may have lost all the money he earned from that show. You know, I kept my percentage.
And, Jim, I had just been with Michael overseas, and he was swearing that he was going to get to your show, and I think he did pull not only the all-nighter, about the 48-hour, I think, to get there. That might have explained a few things.
Yeah, he's an interesting fella.
While they put their feet up, we're playing their best bits. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Heard Billy Idol, White Wedding, and Eskimojo, and Black Fingernails, Red Wine. Jane and Mick are back next Monday, July 15, to drive you home again. Kennedy Malloy, it's the best bits here. It's our Rostered Week Off. Dave O'Neill to join us real soon with a story about meeting a Hemsworth in Byron Bay. But as we approach Jane's birthday last month, her age on Wikipedia started to change.
Hey, do you know what I came across today?
What?
Which I'm furious about. James, our producer, comes to me. Someone's jigged around with my Wikipedia, which I've swiftly put back to where it was.
Oh, that's terrible.
Someone today, in the last 24 hours, has made my age 64.
Why would they do that?
Now, that's your fault. You encouraged this terrible behaviour. And
I may have said on yesterday's show that was close.
You may have said. So someone's gone, oh, I better correct that. No, don't listen to a thing Mick Malloy says, all right? Ridiculous. Then they've also said what my salary is.
Yeah.
Well, I wish. Oh. I wish it was this. This is outrageous.
Jane Kennedy, you know what you're doing. You're just encouraging everyone out there. I repeat.
No, don't touch my Wikipedia.
I repeat, you're encouraging everyone out there to have a crack at Jane's Wikipedia page,
which would be wrong
if you know what I'm saying, everybody out there.
Well, Louise Kennedy. I didn't know that was your middle name.
Jane Louise, that's
Louise.
Correct.
Oh, Louise, now, what's Louise
it's
for?
It's Jane Louise Catherine Mary Therese.
Oh, 9th of June.
Yes.
Right, yep.
That's enough.
Actor, director, producer.
Oh, all right, we don't need to hear it all.
It's got to be your birth.
So, it's there.
Should I say it?
Say that. This is what they go. And they say, my salary, they don't put salaries on a Wikipedia page.
Salary added. Whew.
Jeez.
That's quite the figure.
What?
Jeez.
Oh,
I've since taken it off.
Killed me on that money.
Listen. What,
1954? Hang on a minute. That's really quite mean.
Now,
that
listen.
That is very mean. You know what, though?
Guys,
you'll
mean.
Get in big trouble if you do it.
It would be mean to change.
Well, I've got a contact. Jane, who owns Wikipedia?
The internet?
No, the Wikipedia internet doesn't page. Own Wikipedia. I'm going to get onto it.
I won't stand for it. Mm. Do not, I repeat, do not.
That's
if you're
enough.
Feeling like
we
it.
Get it. Scott is on the line. Scott?
Hello, how are you?
Scott, have you been frigging around with my Wikipedia page, mate?
Oh, you know, you don't have my last name, so I'm proud to say I might have added the fact that you're an affluent horse whisperer.
Is that on your web page as we speak?
Yes, and are you responsible, Scott, for making me also now 125 in age?
No, I can't take credit for that, but you know, I don't know, is whatever age they put you up, is that the same in horse years? I'm not too sure.
There you go,
I'm
mate.
Not encouraging people to do this, by the way.
I am.
Jet, are you going to be my girl? Whip it from Devo and Queen. Crazy little thing called love. It's Kennedy Malloy's rostered week off. Dangerous Dave here without Mick and Jane back in studio next Monday. Coming up in the next 15 minutes, I'll give the content warning now because it gets a bit ripe. But Mick did some investigating about this ancient royal chair. We'll leave it at that. That's coming up for you in just a moment. But post Mother's Day, we heard about all those terrible gifts Mum's got.
Helen.
Back in the late 90s, my ex-husband got me from my children a set of scales and a pair of bikinis.
I'm so glad you said ex-husband, Helen.
Now, this is a joke. He was being humorous, was he?
Oh, well, that's the pretty...
No. That's terrible.
Helen, well, what did you...
And I wasn't even that big back then.
Thanks, Helen.
Thanks, Helen. Hello, Keely.
My dad's brothers have once purchased their mum a billiard table.
Anne's on the line.
Anne.
My girlfriend, it was. She received her child's school Mother's Day store.
Yep.
Cellulite cream.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Kirsten. What was your... unbelievably inappropriate Mother's Day present.
Not for my child, but for my husband. Hubcaps.
Oh. Hubcaps?
What?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Not since Homer gave Marge a bowling ball.
That's right.
For her birthday. It's not quite the right bit, Marge.
And had Homer written on it.
Yeah. I have hubcaps.
Hubcaps?
You know, was missing a couple, apparently.
Hi, Tristan.
Hello, Jane. Hello, Mickey. How are you both?
Good,
really good.
You.
Tell
are
us you, what
you're
you got.
You're a mother. Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for that.
What'd you get?
I got a brown clay mug with a prawn as the handle.
AJ, what did your mum get?
I rang my old man a couple of days before Mother's Day and said, buy her something nice. And I got a phone call from my mum on Mother's Day and he went out and brought her a bug zapper.
Let's go to Beth now. Beth, what did you get for a Mother's Day?
I got attitude.
From who?
From my 26-year-old daughter. We decided to do Mother's Day on Saturday because I wanted to go to the football yesterday.
Good for you.
So I went and picked her up from her place. I paid for us to get our nails done. And then I got attitude on the way home. And that,
whoa,
was, that was what I got.
Kim, what did you get for Mother's Day?
I woke up to the smell of cooking bacon and eggs.
Yes.
Oh. At 5:30 in the morning.
Way too early.
You see, that's...
No!
It's similar to mine. Mine was very early too, and I appreciated it, but wow. Well, the one morning I could have had a bit of a sleep in. Was it tasty? Did they bring it on a little tray and bring it into the bedroom?
No, I had to get up and have it.
Oh. Did you go back to bed?
What a chore.
No, unfortunately, I didn't get to go back to bed either.
You had to do the dishes.
To clean up. Good on you, Kim. Thanks for that. Let's finish with Kelly. Hi, Kelly.
I got a 3 a.m. phone call from my 19-year-old just asking, oh, could you pick us up because our designated drivers just won't answer and we can't find them.
So officially it was Mother's Day, middle of the night.
I did get promised a breakfast, but, you know, not that early. And I said, look, I'll sleep in now and, you know, we can have breakfast a bit later. So it was lovely. They did the breakfast.
Oh, you got that.
The music was playing, but then she sat there too hungover for her to eat. She actually then proceeded to ask if I had $180 to get her phone fixed that she broke that.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is contractually enforced. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Santa Monica, that's Everclear. Also Steeler's Wheel and Stuck in the Middle with You. Soon on Kennedy Malloy, we're going to be hearing from legendary frontman of Midnight Oil, Peter Garrett. This is the Rostered Week Off, by the way. Jane and Mick are back in studio live on Monday. Now, I gave you a content warning before. Just a heads up again, this might not be suitable for those younger listeners. Now, when Mick heard about an ancient royal who owned a special chair, of course he was going to do some investigation.
Guys, we don't know much about the sex lives of the royal family.
Speak for yourself.
Apart from the fact that they sleep with most of their family members. Tends to get a little inbreedy.
Does.
But there was a massive scandal back in the day. We're talking about King Edward VII. Or as he was otherwise known sometimes as Dirty Birdie, or Edward the Caresser.
Oh,
that's
because
already creeping
he
me out.
Was known to have his way with the women. He loved the women. He would often nick off to France, where they had a very good brothel, and he would entertain the ladies there, sometimes two or more at a time. He was up to it. He was a larger gent. This guy had a special chair designed for him to make it easier for him to sleep with women. It's called the Royal Sex Chair, or the Siege d'Amour.
Tell me more, kind
the
sir.
Love seat. Well, I've seen that, and it looks great. To hear it explained more properly, here is Royal Watcher with all the guff.
Okay.
The sex chair that Bertie used, it's upholstered and it has arms, and it really takes a lot of imagination to try to figure out exactly where everybody would be going and at what time, and bearing in mind that he was very heavy at this point in his life.
Clearly, the intention was that a woman would lie on the lower one, woman would lie on the higher one with her feet in the stirrups, and then basically Edward could alternate between the two women as he saw fit.
Okay.
I'm going to put one of those in front of the telly while I'm watching the Tigers.
It's just the way that he just says, so gentlemanly, as he saw fit.
There's Dirty Bertie.
There's Dirty Bertie.
Put her legs in the air and then got comfy.
Good God. I mean, I thought things that were happening in Game of Thrones was disturbing.
No!
Did you know there is a sex chair museum?
Really?
There is. I've just found one online.
See you there.
In Prague.
Oh, I might give him a couple. You wouldn't sit on any of those chairs,
no.
Would you?
No.
I might give that one. But, hey, while we're talking creepy chairs, I mean, I can't leave the segment without running this one by you.
What?
It reminds me very much of the Pope's testicle chair.
What?
I beg your pardon?
You know what I'm talking
about.
No,
I don't. No. I've never heard of this in my life.
Oh, come on.
I've never heard of it. Like,
well, the Pope Benedict III had to organise a testicle chair, and it's a chair with no, like a commode where you sit on and your testicles...
How dare you say commode?
...dangle through it.
Hang on.
Some aides can do a little stock take and make sure you are actually in command of a couple of testicles, because we all know who to blame, Pope Joan.
Pope Joan? What
Pope
did she
Joan,
have to do with
1855 to 1857, was, according to legend, a woman,
not
shocking. A man.
Oh, interesting.
And thereafter they decided I'm sure they had fun too. If I know what's going on down
the
Vatican.
Well, I'm just thinking, yeah.
Look, it's a testicle chair. There's the chair. It's still in existence. You just pop the nads through there. And
I think we know why it was invented. If they're dangling underneath.
Yeah, well, there's two trusted aides. You know, like guys at a mechanic shop who get under the car?
One's got the wrench out.
A couple of guys. You see a couple of legs sticking out from under the Pope's chair. Two reliable clerics. Touch the testicles.
Oh, how do you get that gig, they're asking.
Witnesses who present legal advice of his maleness. And at this point, the priest and the people respond, Deo gratias, thanks be to God.
Oh.
I hear a bit of that often when people touch my testicles.
I beg your pardon. You don't belong.
Thanks for being a cult.
You don't have a cult, do you?
No.
That is very cult-like,
by the way.
But I'd
love a testicle chair.
You would not.
Yeah, you know what you get me that. For my birthday.
I don't even want to think of what that involves.
That's fair.
You've got your potty.
So, look, you can get me, you've got one or two. You can either get me a replica, a faithful replica of King Edward VII's
sex chair,
Dirty Birdie sex chair, or a testicle chair.
Mm. You don't want cufflinks?
Listen up, Australia. While Mick and Jane have a well-earned break, we're heading back to the archives. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Coming up, Dave O'Neill, who did some comedy gigs in Byron Bay with Glenn Robbins and Peter Rosethorne. Anyway, they ended up meeting a Hemsworth. Dave's going to spill the beans on that soon. Mick and Jane discovered a new dating app built just for people who went to private schools. It's called Toffee. Of course it is. More on that for you in just a moment. But first up, let's hear about Jane, who attended a fancy restaurant.
I went to a function that was one of Australia's most famous restaurants, the Stoke House.
Oh.
And celebrating.
Is that all you do, travel around the country going to glamorous openings?
Of course.
On weekends?
That's what I do.
Is that your thing?
Well, yes, as it should be.
And what happened?
Well, when you went in, it's pretty glamorous.
It's a ripping restaurant.
It's a beautiful restaurant, and friends of mine run it, and I went there, but it was not like you normally go because it's a fancy place. They had people all sort of with almost S&M masks. It was all a bit eyes wide shut when you walked in. I think you might have. Actually, there were some really amazing, very scantily clad people.
When
you walked in,
just like me,
there was actually a bird in a bathtub filled with sort of, it must have been blue, warm water, and oyster shells and a big pearl.
It's funny, the same thing was happening at my house. The exact same thing.
A deja vu. Anyway, she said, she was sort of mimey. You know, I just said, oh, look, she gestured for me and grabbed my arm as I walked past.
Good Lord.
Like, you know, a zombie from the ground. And I said, oh, look, no, I won't have one of those. Thank you. I'll just go upstairs. And then she grabbed me again and looked at me like, take one of these effing things, will you?
What is it?
It was a pearl, but it was actually a shot of espresso martini inside sort of this special edible stuff.
I would never have got past the bathtub. I would have been there.
So I went, oh, I better tell him. So I had
Popping
one in my hand.
Like, well,
then they give you champagne. It's so fancy. Then champagne. Then I walk in. The speeches are on. Matt Preston's doing the speech. I see Frank and Sharon there, who are the owners. No, it didn't. It was very brief. But then I realised I've still got this thing in my hand. And I just wasn't in the mood to pop it. So I might have...
Have you got it here?
No, I might have dropped it on the floor.
That's very unlike you.
I know. Yeah. I just didn't, but it was...
The girl in the bath, what's that? What's the hotel we've stayed at a couple of times in LA? It's on Sunset Strip, and behind the counter there's always a girl in a glass box, and she's either reading a book in a bikini...
Not the London,
no.
And it's not Marmont. No,
The Standard.
The Standard hotel.
Yes, okay.
Oh,
wow. And so
she's
always,
just in a book.
It's just like in a, like a glass cage.
Right.
She's either like wearing a bikini,
like
reading a book or doing something, but she ignores you completely.
Yeah, it's visual installation. Yeah.
I got told off for tapping the glass. Mate,
she's not in a fish tank.
No tapping the glass.
Well, they put their feet up. We're playing their best bits. This is Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off.
Kennedy Malloy back next Monday. This is the Rostered Week Off. Yeah, delving into the archives, playing some of the best bits. I did notice Jane posted a bunch of photos of some gorillas on her Instagram because she's there in the Bawindi Impenetrable Forest National Park in Uganda and just 5 feet away from the silverback gorillas. Amazing photo. She looks like she's having a ball. Anyway, can't wait to hear all about that on Monday with the return of Kennedy Malloy. Peter Garrett, frontman of Midnight Oil, joined us, and there might be some new music on the way from this band. Here he is.
We love seeing you do what we think you do so well, and that is back in the band, performing, writing, etc. Recently we went to a Killers concert, and didn't they sing a Oil's cover as
they
well?
They did an absolute...
Did you know they were going to do that?
Yeah, I did actually. It's funny, I ran into Brandon when we were coming back from a festival in Sweden, and we got chatting, and I knew the band, but I didn't really know him, and he said, oh, I'd love to do one of your songs. I said, mate, go for it, you know.
It was
have a crack, but you better do it well.
Oh, man.
Well,
I'll tell you
he
what.
Did. It was unbelievable.
He did it justice. Are there any cover versions of your songs that you've heard or know of people that you think, oh, that's a bit out there? Like Celine Dion hasn't asked, you know, can I do a cover version?
Actually, there are rather too many covers of Beds because it's such a big radio song and a big club song overseas.
Yeah.
And there's a, I don't know whether it's where it's from, I think it's France or Belgium, a disco version that really is.
Wow.
<it's,
laughs>
hey, we'd like to get our hands on
it's
that.
It's worse than the Bombers losing.
Oh, no. Now, if you're getting back in the studio again, what inspiration are you pulling? Because, you know, your writing is so inspirational to so many of us and we love how you write and what you write about. What are you going to be doing when you're going back in the studio this time?
Well, I think we weren't sure that we would go in, just as we weren't sure that we'd play.
Get in there, you lazy bastard.
No. We really want to, I mean, we do get very intense about what we're doing and trying to make it work as well as it can. Mm. And having played and enjoyed all of that, well, bring some songs in and see what. So, of course, Rob's brought a bunch of songs in. Jimmy's brought a bunch of songs in. Martin and I have brought some in as well. And we'll just sit through those and see what we've got. It's really important that they excite us, you know.
Yeah.
If it's not exciting for us, then there's just no point in going any further. But up to now, it's starting to sound pretty
edgy. Do you all get excited at the same time? Like, is it, you go, yeah,
not
we're on the same page. Oh.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
More cowbell.
Oh, my God.
I love the cowbell at the start of Read.
You know why he's doing this? He's angling to get in the band payday. He's got this bloody cowbell with him.
What if I came on and just did the two taps of a cowbell before Read About It at one of your concerts?
You realise you'd have to audition and Rob is a pretty harsh judge.
He's pretty good on the cowbell.
Just how's Rob holding up? Because as a young man, the Oils go fairly hard, it's fair to say.
Yeah,
and as
true.
A young man, he used to bash the living bejesus. Yeah. Is he still... Do you have to sub him in or out, or is he still? He
He does the whole four quarters.
Fit as a fiddle.
Honestly, I'm talking about my mates, but
yes.
By the time we got towards the end of it, I was sort of standing there at night thinking, I can't quite believe this is happening. I think it was partly because the audiences were really very strong, and you know they give you a lot of energy. And by the time you get off, and then you sort of go you realise that it's been a long one. But
I told a story the other day about my mate Paul Hester, who filled in for Rob Hurst once, and
I remember that actually.
I've never seen a more shocked look on a man's face. I said, "How'd you go?" He goes, "Yeah, those songs are pretty fast." This is a guy coming from Crowded House where he used to brush the cymbals.
I remember. He's just done the marathon. He said, you got to do that tomorrow night? We're like, yeah, come on, mate.
Jesus Jones right here, right now. Also you two and BB King, When Love Comes to Town. In studio back on Monday will be the return of Jane and Mick. Kennedy Malloy. Dave O'Neill, we love this guy. He's one of our favourites. He's in on a regular basis. He's a guy who'll do a comedy show from a school hall, from a suburban garage to a show in Byron Bay with Glenn Robbins and Peter Rosethorne, where he was there recently and come across a Hemsworth.
Went to Byron and with Glenn Robbins and Peter Rosethorne. And let me just say, Glenn Robbins, he loves a bit of nudity, doesn't he?
Oh, yes. Oh, I know that.
Me?
Oh, I know
God.
That.
So we...
He'll drop his pants.
He doesn't mind. He's got no qualms about it. He's
he
not
did it in my room on a golf tour the other day.
Well,
you've got to love that in someone.
You got to. Well, we were waiting for Peter Rosethorne to get to the house and I was having a nap in my underpants and singlet. There was a knock on the door.
What?
Well, it's just I didn't have any pajamas. There was a knock on the door.
Why don't you put a T-shirt on and your pants?
I didn't have a T-shirt. I was in my bedroom. I allocated...
Your guys' trips away are weird, let me just say.
So I thought, I'd better answer the door. So I go and answer the door and Pete is there. He goes, oh, in your underpants. I didn't know, but behind me, Glenn had walked down the stairs taking his underpants and pants off. He was just standing there.
No. What is wrong? No.
He goes, come in, Pete. We're having fun.
Why would you answer the door in your underpants? Why would you do that?
I knew it was Pete. I could see him through the hole.
No, this is foreign to me.
The word came around that the Hemsworths want to meet Glenn. They want to meet us, were the words. In other words, Glenn. They wouldn't care about me and Pete. And so, we're sitting in the green room, which is a room above the surf club where the gig was, and it was a great gig. So first up, Madeline West walks in.
Oh, we know her.
With Shannon.
Yeah.
The chef husband.
The locals.
Yeah, we know them.
And then Bernard Fanning comes in.
Yeah.
From Powderfinger.
And bit of a scene up there.
Liam Hemsworth comes in.
Oh.
And it was hilarious.
Liam or Chris?
No, it wasn't Thor. It was Liam.
Liam.
It was Liam.
You'd had built it up that it was going to be Chris.
He's the one who doesn't like me, I think.
Liam?
That's Marley's husband.
Well, this is the thing. And so he's standing there kind of walking. He's going, oh, Glenn, I'm such a big fan. And Glenn goes, come and sit next to me and Dave on the couch. But then it was, I think he thought I was...
Tell me you've got pants on. Yeah. Tell me you've got...
I think Liam thought I was Glenn's driver or security guy. And then Glenn doesn't really know anything about him, so he's going, where are you living now? And he goes, oh, I'm living in America. He goes, where in America? I go, mate, Miley wrote a song
Hollywood.
About it. It's Malibu.
Oh, Malibu.
I said, his girlfriend wrote a song about him.
They're now married. Do you not even know that?
That's right.
And Glenn's like, do I have to come with you on your next trip?
Who's your girlfriend? And I'm like, oh, you don't know anything about it. Oh, you knew less than me. Yeah. So I started singing. Yeah, the song goes, in Malibu, next to you. I go, that's you. And then he just turned his back to me and said, Glenn, I really like you. So it was like, you know, when...
why did he love him? He just loved Glenn.
He just loved Glenn.
Did he like him so in particular shows? Like
Russell Coyd.
Russell
Coyd. Yeah, yeah. Russell Coyd.
Well, you should tell him you should put him in a Russell Coyd. That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then
he's a good actor.
I have to come up with all the good ideas.
So then he said, I'm going to go for a surf with you later and get Chris out there as well. And then Glenn got a text from Pat Rafter also wanting to go for a surf.
Oh, yeah, Patty's up there. They've moved up there. He would give him run for his money.
I got no text. I got nothing.
Don't you know anyone famous in Byron?
No one.
Subscribe to the Kennedy Malloy podcast if you need more Mick and Jane in your ears. Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off. Mick and Jane discovered a new dating app for those people who went to a private school.
It's called Toffee. This is the criteria. You have to have attended a private school. It's so disgraceful.
Oh, okay. Well, count me. This sounds like fun.
So now you went to a private school?
No, I went to a public school.
Oh, well, there you go.
Does a Catholic girls' convent count?
Working, remember. No need for an app. just go down to your local.
Oh, you're so cliched.
Just go to any wine bar in the inner city Melbourne area. And wait till after 9 o'clock.
What eyebrow school then? Are we talking about?
I beg your pardon?
Did you go to some grammar school or something?
No, I didn't. It was a special school. It's called the Peninsula School.
For what? Wow. Peninsula School for what? Yeah.
For
wayward boys.
Academically
challenged.
Bright. No, Jane. So do you have to take a picture in your school uniform? how do you prove that?
Well, it depends on how long ago. I mean, you're talking about was a very, very, very long time ago.
I'll turn up to the date in my school uniform. And with my school blazer on, with my school bag.
Yeah.
But now you want to get a route, don't you?
Okay.
I'm just saying, why would you do that?
Yes, I do.
You're not
with a real
young.
Stuck-up kind of...
Oh, some pompous, stuck-up private schoolgirl. And the problem is...
I've always wondered why you haven't introduced me to any of your friends. Because you... circle, what
it is
you've
not
just described.
Idea.
You are.
No, there's a damn good reason that I have not introduced you to any of my friends.
Well, I'll go on the app then. What's it called? Toffee.
Toffee. Yeah. But there's another app, though. This is the one you should be going on.
What's this one?
It's called Raya. It's an exclusive platform for people in creative industries, aka celebrities.
Oh, Mick.
It's a celebrity app. You have to be recommended.
It'll be me and Toady from Neighbours vying for the same girls.
Mickey, there's a fee for this app.
Do you know what about this? Here's the app I want.
What?
An app for hotties. Who've been to finishing school, who go off like a firecracker in the sack.
That's it for today. We're back tomorrow for another day of Kennedy Malloy's Rostered Week Off with Anne Edmonds, Kitty Flanagan and Jimmy Barnes. Enjoy Tuesday night. We will talk to you tomorrow. Kennedy Malloy.